So this morning, as you might imagine, we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study through the New Testament book of Luke. When we left off last time, we had just finished chapter 17. Now, lately, we've seen Jesus teaching his disciples about the proper attitudes and behaviors necessary to live in community with other believers. He urged us to be aware of the temptations that swirl all around us and set a good example for each other. He explained that when sin happens, and it surely will, we should be quick to repent and quick to forgive. We should faithfully serve God and others without complaint and not expect an easy life. Material for this morning found in Luke chapter 18, verses 1. A parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Hard man. And it's helpful in this case. I think what we will find is that this explanation goes with what we have, that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. The idea of pray and not give up. The old King James says we ought always to, interesting description, it means utterly spiritless, to be wearied out or tired. Why would Jesus tell us a parable about fatigue and despair in this? After 16, Jesus was teaching his disciples about the end times and about the kingdom of God. He told desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And yet he told them not to go after sightings or to follow rumors about the day, able to miss it. First suffer and be if you wanted to. He then cautioned them, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, most people would just go about their lives until the flood came and destroyed them all, until it rained. So it seems that Jesus was talking about kingdom expectations. Come to saving faith. He was talking about the exasperation of every believer who. He was talking about the dispiritedness we all feel, not to mention. But what he's not talking about, what he clearly seems to not be, is in prayer as if our will should be done. It's terrible to our own life. For if we read it only superficially, we may seek first the kingdom of is being offered. The earnest believer must long for peace and justice, always pray, and not lose heart. Here in perseverance, there was with a parable. A parable that he begins. The greatest commandment, which asks that we love God and love either one. And just think about it. Suppose you were aired what people thought. It wouldn't necessarily affect the quality of your work product. You're proud of what you're, and your customers would be no worse off because they would still be getting a quality. Well, they could buy their tents from someone else. But in the case of a, if the judge of the court that has jurisdiction over your, you could try to, could simply accept the injustice that has been done to you and learn to live into your own hands, I suppose, and try to effect some kind of vigilante justice if, over and over. But if that judge is a person who does not fear God nor regard men of the Holy Spirit, he, on the contrary, will be susceptible to self-dealing. He will be as evil and unlike the tent maker who is godless and selfish, when such a person is evil and miserable, becomes a recipe for oppression and your future. He knows they're going to grow weary of waiting. Discipleship demands endurance. That discipleship, our gracious God, come. Indeed, that's how he taught us to pray back in chapter 11. He has promised to return. Keep his promises, and because we know that he hears our prayers, not lose hope. We should, even if we feel at times as though our pleas are not, we can know by despair that while there may be cause for fatigue, prayer isn't just a good idea. It's something that God. As one writer explained, prayer becomes the distinguishing characteristic of the believer. by relying on our own strength and leaving God on the sidelines. There was a widow in that city. As the story continues here in verse 3, we're introduced to a God nor care about the concerns of this lone widow. So it was she could not likely pay him a bribe. And since this voting justice, nevertheless, the widow approached him, adversary. Apparently, this woman had been wrong, her adversary. The Greek word for adversary is widely used as here to refer to as an enemy, the devil, who walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he enemy to our own lives. But for now, let's stick to the text. This widow has been wronged. Adversary approaches this godless, selfish judge in the hopes of securing justice, and he would not. Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, boy, he simply refused to listen. But we have no reason to think that he was unimpressed with pain. To her case would advance his own interests. Well, no real incentive, even to just man himself, though I do not fear within yourself. Fairness, right? Most of us don't see ourselves that clearly, particularly when it comes. But when we do, like this guy, it's often the kind of stuff that only gets within himself, though I do. By her continual coming, she weary me. True to form, only interested in or by relieving him of a perceived burden in front of judges in my life and to behave. Rightly resolving their entrusted with the solemn duty to engage. And if we assume that the judge is Jewish, which seems like a fair assumption, corruption was forbidden. Makes a law against it doesn't mean it isn't going to happen. I mean, remember the side after dishonest gain. In this case, the judge perverted justice by doing nothing. And the fact that she had been mistreated might have moved him. And that is especially egregious given the fact that throughout the protected from affliction, advocate present in court, and even suggesting that they, as the Lord justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead. His duty was clear. And just as clearly, he was not doing compassion or sympathy. This widow's persistence eventually wore him down. Of the nagging widow. But the judge virtually admits as much, saying, this widow troubles me. Continue. And in case any doubt remains, the judge himself describes what's at stake. She outlasted him, pushed the judge to the point where it was easier for him to give her the justice she demanded than as one scholar put it, what the judge would not do out of compassion for her incessant. The idea that she should weary him, in fact, and attack him if he didn't give her the justice in light of law and precedent, and still, so this suggestion and this common widow was pro her day in court. More likely, the remark, if you think about it, and means to suffer shame. Gave me a black eye. Then the suggestion is that the reputation of the judge might be jeopardized if he keeps brushing aside her claim. Disciples to be persistent to the greater. And we can see how it develops here. If a cold, uncaring, how much more can we? So whenever disciples of Jesus feel beaten down and savaged, coming back for us. Amen. His second, he wants his church to use all of its skills and talents and gifts and resources for those who cannot speak for themselves. We ought to speak up for the rights of those and the rights of the poor and needy. This is, at least to some extent, this is why we look out for each other right here in the church. Wouldn't lift a finger to help a widow get justice, even though it was his solemn obligation to do so. Really to suffer or even be inconvenienced in varying. It's occurred to me over years of walking. For the Christian person, once the Spirit has revealed our sin to us, He will convict us that it is sin to be changed. Because God has given us that choice. He will equip us transformed. We must be willing to be obstinate and stubborn. Now you could say God Himself is unchanging. Aren't we supposed to be like He didn't have to be. But if we should become unchangeable, and if we teachable, we may, in fact, be unreachable. He's been so selfish. I imagine that something happened in his life to make him cynical and hurt. Jesus doesn't. Life in this fallen world can beat us down. We ought to remember the soon return of our Savior. 7. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night? Jesus' persistence. And recognize that the alternative is bleak. The option that remains is to give up and walk away. Faithful. He is filled with compassion for believers who suffer here and now, and He will certainly respond. The New King James says that God will avenge, and vindication carries with us by saying that God will bring about justice for His chosen ones. That such justice, we can count on God's justice being done in eternity, and we can take heart that day and night. Eventually, we can be certain that the fallen souls who trust to our prayers, and we can know that He is faithful to respond, we also not ours. And that's the interesting thing. Word and may consider it seem like an odd spiritual practice. Doesn't He already know our concerns? Because it is intended to do something for us. It's one of the things that He gives us, I think, in touch with Him, to remain connected to Him. He needs as we pray. We reveal our heart's desires and we confess our heart's distraction. Pray, we enter the throne room of the Almighty and we crawl up in His lap like little children. Aware of our limits, as Martin Luther put it, prayer is not about overness. God doesn't need us to pray, but we most certainly need to pray to God. Seeing that His return may take longer than we would prefer, avenge them speedily. A man comes, will he really find of God's haste? And that question has given rise to much debate. After all, it may have, but for those of us who are reading it here 2,000 years later, still waiting, leaving open the question of when, but suggesting that when the time finally arrives, clear that speedily means to us. As we're told in 2 Peter, 3,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. And no, the Lord is not slack, long-suffering toward us should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish, but desires that help is on the way. And while it may seem like He is lingering, they will prove short. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really? Jesus ends this impatience and consider whether it reflects a lack of faith. Find faith on earth is probably like not much. People in this world experience. But we who have seen God's mighty work in our faith persist dead, and we trust in His principal promise that whoever believes in Him, He will return whether we pray or not. Our persistent prayer in His own person so that we don't lose faith. Be faithful and yet forgotten and forsaken, He prayed. And if we prayed, and He wants to hear from us, even though He already effort to hear our prayers. Thank You for the promise of eternal life by grace. Help us to, when we get discouraged by the things of this world, please remind us, You bear with in your